Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. Rick Emmett gained international recognition as the lead singer, songwriter, guitarist with Triumph from 1975 to 1988. Five gold and platinum decades in the music biz provided entry into the Canadian Rock Hall of Fame, the Music Industry Hall of Fame, the Juno's Hall of Fame, and the Canadian Walk of Fame, with a few best guitarist awards in various categories garnered along the way. Emmett morphed from Smooth Jazz Awards in 05 and 07 to the worldwide release of a prog rock project called Airtime in 07, to a Latin Mediterranean guitar trio project called Trifecta in 2009. The full-blown rock band project RES9 by Rick Emmett and RE Solution 9 was released worldwide in 2016. His latest 2020 creative recording project is Folk Songs for the Farewell Bonfire, the Bonfire Sessions, comprised of 18 solo acoustic vocal tracks as well as 6 jazz guitar instrumentals, available exclusively as downloads at www.rickemmett.com. Now, searching backwards chronologically, the 18th and 19th albums of his independent career released through his website, www.rickemmett.com, were Marco's Secret Songbook, a concept album with 15 music tracks, and a spoken word narrative in the symphonic underscore, and then again, an acoustic duo with Dave Dunlap, reworking the most popular Triumph repertoire with new arrangements. In 2011, Recovery Room 9 was released, featuring 9 cover songs from a widely eclectic range of pop music. Rick was a popular columnist for Guitar Player magazine and an innovative music educator of long standing with Humber College in Toronto, and is the artistic director emeritus of the annual Song Studio Songwriting Workshop. Please welcome legendary singer, guitarist, songwriter, and producer best known as the frontman for classic rock legends Triumph, Rick Emmett, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Ray.
It's hard to get all that in.
No kidding. Yeah. Do you need a break?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, so many great musicians, especially guitarists, come from Canada. I'm friends with Frank Marino. I'm sure you know Frank.
I don't know him personally, but I know him well, obviously from reputation. And he played a gig with us in England once, where he was on the bill at this thing called the Heavy Metal Holocaust.
Right.
And he was great. He was an outstanding performer. I guess he still goes out in gigs, right?
Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, he had a tour lined up, and of course, it all got canceled because of the virus.
Yeah.
And we had on the show recently Miles Goodwin as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Right on. I know Miles.
Another good guy. And, of course, Randy Bachman we've had on a couple of times. Another good guy.
Yeah, I've actually played on stage with Randy. I got to do Looking Out for Number One with him at a charity thing once, and that was a thrill of a lifetime. Yeah, I love Randy. He's great.
You know, I liked your video talking about the double neck guitar because, you know, nobody really explains it. You know, people think it's just kind of a showpiece, you know, but it's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a time in my development where there were guys like, obviously the Jimmy Page thing where he was using it for Stairway, and that made it so that live people were going, ooh, double necks.
Right.
But Steve Howe and Yes had one. John McLaughlin used one a lot for a while. And it would get used in very intelligent ways. The switching of the sound and the texture of the guitar became a kind of an important thing. In my case, the 12-string part of it was used mostly for what would normally be on a record, you might use an acoustic guitar, but the 12-string had that kind of jingle-jangle, bright kind of sheets of kind of clean sound, and then you could go to the 6-string neck and you'd, you know, click your amplifier over to the dirty channel, and, you know, away you go and pile drive, but, some guys will use them for show, obviously, and by the time it got to the end of it, Rick Nielsen had, I think, 5 or 6 necks on his, you know.
And that was crazy.
I don't think he was using all 5 or 6, you know.
I know. It's kind of silly.
And I think intentionally so.
Yeah.
He's kind of going like, it's like the Spinal Tap thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This one goes to 11.
Yeah.
His double neck would go to 5 necks, you know.
You got a lot of things going on. First of all, you got Roundhill Records is reissuing 11 Rick Emmett solo titles, and that was released, what, July 10th? Was that on schedule?
Yeah, they put them out with my birthday
right. This
year. I turned 67, and they put out 11 of these. They were going to put out, there was 13 that they made a deal with me for.
Right.
And then they said, we're going to put them out on your birthday. I said, I don't think you should put the Christmas record out in July. So there were a few things that, you know, changed their approach. But it was very nice. It was it's kind of a great thing that at this stage of my life, there's a record company that is going to say, no, we actually, we believe in what you did as an artist. You know, we're willing to support that. We'd like to, you know, put it out in a digital format. I go, geez, okay, you want to re-release it? And they're going, you never really chased any of the things like, you didn't have the whole catalog on iTunes. You didn't have all of the songs up on for Pandora and Spotify. And so they said, well, you know, we'd love to do that. And I went, okay, great. So that's been a really sweet thing.
Now, the catalog can be streamed at on your website, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could always get it there. Although now that there's the Roundhill thing, I think I don't even know this for sure, but I think if you went into my store and you were trying to buy or download one of the albums, it'll just forward you over to Roundhill or to iTunes or to wherever it is that their digital retail is at now, because that's the deal I made with them. But the new record I made, Folk Songs for the Farewell Bonfire,
right. That's
available at my site.
Okay.
Going back to your original question, the whole thing of all these things going on, Triumph is, there's a documentary coming up, Banger Films, and eventually there's going to be a Triumph box set. I think that's probably going to be 2021.
Awesome.
But,
yeah.
You know, there's this whole thing that's happening in my life where there's all of this retrospective going back and re-releasing catalog stuff. Meanwhile, I've got new stuff, and I just wrote a book of poetry, and I'm hoping that I'm going to make a publishing deal and get that out.
Awesome.
And then probably I'm going to be writing a memoir.
Very good.
It seems like what's happening is all of the old in the past is now combining with the present tense, and that's going to be what my future is. The market, I'm going to be on doing interviews all day long, you know, talking about all of this stuff that's, you know, the re-release of this and the re-release of that, and you go, okay, well, fine, that's great.
Well, your Folk Songs for the Farewell Bonfire, Bonfire Sessions includes 18 solo acoustic vocal tracks as well as 6 jazz guitar instrumentals, which is available for download at www.rickemmett.com. That's tremendous. And, you know, you are such an eclectic, musician, which, you know, you can play anything, which is very, very cool.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, there's obviously always going to be, a new kid in town, a hotter shot than me, and I don't necessarily think of it in those kinds of competitive terms anyways of, you know, boy, who's the best. The thing for me was that if something seemed like it was leading me towards a classical direction, fingerstyle, nylon string guitar, that's where I would go. If it was going to be archtop kind of swing, I would go. If it was rock, I would go. Like, I didn't say, oh no, I only do this thing. I'm only going to wear blue clothes, you know, like, I wasn't going to limit myself.
Right.
I was going to just go where the music led me. And then, you know, after the fact, you go, okay, well, these all seem like the kind of fingerstyle jazz guitar pieces, or I'll lump those together in terms of when it goes to market. But do I think of myself as a jazz guitarist? No, not really, because that's not only what I do. I do think of myself as a kind of an eclectic guy. Now, at the bottom of it, you know, if I do Bonfire, and talk about that, the songs are, every song I ever write starts out as a kind of a folk song on acoustic guitar, you know, like, I would bring songs to the Triumph for your production, and the guys would say, Rick, that sounds like a folk song, and I would say, yeah, well, come on, boys, use your imagination now, like, you know, any song, you can dress up any song anyway,
sure.
You know, but, there are certain things that come naturally to me. I started out with acoustic guitars and classical guitars and playing coffee houses when I was in high school. I was in basement bands and I was learning Eric Clapton licks. You know, so there's a blues thing that kind of comes naturally to my rock playing. I fell in love with jazz guitar players and progressive rock guitar players, and so that sort of became really the melting pot was progressive rock, because it was the one where a guy like Steve Howe, yes, would be playing nylon string and 12 string and double necks and slide guitars and you know, arch top things, but he'd be playing them with rock sensibilities. Like, he was kind of like the biggest role model of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my life ended up being one of, you know, jumping around from bag to bag and style to style. But, you know, I would often say to people in a self-effacing, humble kind of way, look, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And the other thing is just keep moving, because you want to be a moving target. It's harder to hit.
Exactly. You're a great guitar player, man, you know, and songwriter, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, and vocalists, you know. You got the trifecta going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it all started with vocals. I sang in the church choir when I was like seven years old. I think my mom would take me to choir practices, and I was like a boy first soprano.
Mm-hmm.
But, singing was the thing that is sort of, you're starting to understand the whole spirit, mind, body connection when you're singing. So as a musician, it really helps. When you're playing guitar, if you're thinking like a singer, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great guitar players, they think like sax players.
Right.
And they're making that same body connection, which is to say that you've got to breathe it. It's got to become a part of what your body's doing. There's lots of guitar players, they just noodle and noodle and noodle and they never stop because they haven't made that sort of real understanding of, no, it's gotta breathe. It's gotta be real. It's gotta be like you're singing it. And the great guitarists, and Jeff Beck would probably be my number one choice for that. He certainly plays like every note is just incorporated into his body, you know?
You know who I'm talking to after your interview? John McLaughlin.
Oh, an unbelievable artist.
That's a tremendous
guitar player.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I've never met John, but you can let him know that you were talking to Rick Emmett.
I sure will.
He's a huge fan. And, you know, Rick Emmett, I would play a double neck for a lot of reasons, but one of them was John McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk real quick about RES9. That's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, we call it Resume. And here's the thing. At one point, we're trying to come up with a name for the band.
Right.
He was the guys I toured with and stuff.
Yeah.
And I I said, we got to give it a name. And at one point I went, well, my initials are R.E., and the band has become sort of the solution to how I'm going to fulfill this contract that I'd made with Mascot Provo.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was going to be a real band rock project kind of thing. Go into the studio, you know, after a little bit of pre-production, spend a week doing beds and doing some overdubs, and, you know, that was it was going to be like an old-fashioned band record. So I said, you know what? The band is Resolution 9. It's R.E.'s solution.
Mm-hmm.
And we stuck the 9 on the end of it because my guitar player, Dave Dunlop, is crazy about the... He's very superstitious about the number 9. So, Resolution 9. So, we always called it Res 9.
Right.
But I know some people look at it, they go, I don't know. How do you pronounce that? Do we spell the letters, or what do we do there? But
right.
Anyways, we thought it would catch on, you know?
Yeah.
It would just be like this short nickname thing. And yeah, but
that was
a great record. I had a lot of fun making that record, and I was quite proud of it.
Yeah.
And then the record came out, and I was incredibly disappointed that Provo Mascot didn't really...
Mm-hmm.
They didn't seem to do anything other than just kind of put it out and then hope for the best. And you go, you know, I don't think hope is a marketing strategy, guys. I really don't.
Well, I'm still promoting it. I'm going to put it on all my sites. We'll mention it, of course, on YouTube and everything.
Right. Well, but, you know, it doesn't do me much good. It's their thing. Besides, in typical Rick Emmett fashion, I've moved on.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do me a favor, keep pumping that folk songs for the
folk songs. Okay.
You know, that's my new thing now.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I gave that album 5 stars because I really liked it. I mean, I think my favorite tune on that was "The Ghost of Shadowtown." That was a great song.
Thank you. It's amazing what anger at Donald Trump can give you. Eh?
Is that what that's about?
Oh yeah. The ghost in the town is somebody that has a kind of that you can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that has nefarious kinds of I mean, obviously I'm a Canadian, so you know, I don't want to go too deep into it. And of course, there's songs on Bonfire that are about, you know, across the Great Divide.
Right.
You know, it can't be any more clear. I'm talking about the politics of our modern times. But, there's very few Canadian fans of Donald.
Well, if these riots keep on here, you're going to see a lot of Americans trying to get into Canada.
Yes, well, you know,
you guys won't
let
us in, though.
I mean, it's just we've said this before. It's surreal,
and
there's no two ways around it. And of course, you guys have got an election coming up, so. But from a creative, artistic point of view, when there is stress and tension and turmoil, it does give you a lot of fodder for creative work, you know, concepts and ideas and things that you want to say and the energy to say it because you're sort of animated by the energy of, and certainly there's a lot of stuff that's going on in America right now where as a Canadian, I grew up and America was this thing that it was always the land of hope and the land of opportunity and if you went back to my airtime record that I made with Mike Shotton, and there's a song on there called Liberty Manifesto, and it's kind of about the Statue of Liberty and what Emma Lazarus was on about when she wrote the poetry, and part of it ended up on the base of the statue. And, you know, what's happened to that American dream? What's happened to that, you know, and now you got riots, and you got class wars, and you've got Black Lives Matter. There's a lot of things America's got to try and figure back out again.
Yep.
It's almost as if the ghost of the town might be, all the way back to the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a very difficult year, 2020. To me, it feels like a science fiction movie.
Stranger than fiction. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But, as I've said in many interviews in the last few days, you know, it's like a game of golf now. Just hit it, go and find where it landed and play it where it lies. Like, there's no sense getting out ahead of yourself.
Right.
And there's no sense in living in the past.
Right, that's true.
It's now a question of dealing with this present tense and just getting through today the best you can.
That's all you can do.
Because you can't look too far forward down the road. There's no way to know. It's veiled in a mist, you know.
Well, what's exciting me nowadays is the Mars thing, man. I think that's pretty cool, you know?
Going to
Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got three rockets that went to Mars. One's from, Saudi Arabia or, you know, or Dubai or whatever.
Yeah.
Then China and then us. And we just came back. But, you know, we sent up the one that's going to be, you know, driving around Mars. It's going to have a helicopter in it. And then we're going to be on the moon in a couple of years. And then we're going to take off from the moon and go to Mars with a man. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's, yes. And to me, that's, you know, I mean, you're talking to an older guy. I remember the time when, you know, NASA was really getting the commitment from Kennedy, and there was that sense of, you know, that this is where the future lay. And that's what I'm talking about when a nation is a place of hope. A government is something that offers that kind of vision and hope for the future. So hopefully that can get recaptured again.
I hope so.
And I guess, you know, when you're an artist and you make music, that's one of the things that's stock and trade. I mean, one of the themes I keep coming back to all the time are faith, hope, and love. And of the three, you know, love is the glue that makes it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all, in their own different ways, they're all incredibly important. The fuel for the rocket is kind of that trinity of faith, hope, and love, really.
Yeah.
Because you're stepping out into the unknown. You're facing the unknown. That's pretty much like everybody walking out the door to have their day, you know. You don't know for sure, but you've got to have faith and hope and love that it's going to work out. So that was always kind of the rocket fuel behind all of the music that I was making. And maybe it was one of the reasons I was all over the map.
Rick, I know you got another interview coming up. Here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Wow. Well, I mean, part of that is how do you get past your own fear and your own sort of insecurities in order to have that happen? I mean, people have said on a fantasy thing, like, who would I love to jam with?
Mm-hmm.
Pat Metheny is sort of one of my favorite musicians on the planet Earth, and certainly I think he's one of the greatest guitar artists that exists. But I think I'd be crazy intimidated, you know?
Yeah.
You know who I would love to sit down and have a dinner with?
Who's that?
Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens.
Oh,
like,
cool.
I think he would be the kind of guy that he could step out of time and would be, he would see the truth in things, no matter what. If he was 100 years in the future or, you know, from his own time, that would be a cool guy to, you know, Field of Dreams kind of thing with. But I don't know. I mean, in Field of Dreams, he got, like, all of the baseball heroes from, you know, the past.
Yeah.
So he, there was a lot of people walking around on that baseball bed. And never mind that, he also had an old doctor. And, so, you know, I don't know. I think I once was going to maybe do a project with Steve Howe, who had been a role model of mine, the guitar player from Yes. And then after a while, Steve sent me an email and said, I can't.
Oh,
you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a big disappointment to me. But I don't know. My life has been a very lucky, blessed kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend not to dwell on questions of fantasy or fiction, or because, you know, life itself is already so full of, you know, interesting things. And there's a real Zen thing about you don't want to live in the past, because that's where regret is. And you don't want to go to the future and live there, because that's where anxiety lives.
Right.
But you want to be just here in the present tense.
Yep.
because this is where you can relax and truly be and find yourself.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, even though I appreciate your question, and, you know, it's lovely to entertain fantasy, you know, my reality is I'm pretty happy with it, you know. Yeah. I love sitting out around the pool and watching my family having fun and my grandkids. And, you know, like, there's not much better than that. There's not much better than sitting down and having dinner with my wife. That's taking the dog for a walk, you know.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff.
It's a little fun.
I really don't need fantasy to make it good.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I got 5 grandkids, and nothing makes me more happier than spending time with them, you know?
Yeah, see, there you go.
I agree. I want to thank you for your philanthropy that you've done all these years with the band, yourself. You got the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal for community service. You know, not everybody can say they go out of their way and do things like that, especially rock stars.
Well, thanks, Ray. I mean, you know, I guess when you're that kind of a person, then it doesn't seem like such a big deal to me, you know. And certainly that whole thing of self-effacing humility.
Mm-hmm.
Let me leave you with this thought, you know.
Okay.
When I was teaching college, and I did it for, you know, well over a couple of decades, one of the main messages I would always try to leave with students was, you know, when you make music, when you've decided that that's what you want to do, and that's what you're doing, you are actually, in my humble opinion, this is as close to God as you're going to get. This
mm-hmm.
is staring into the face of God,
right.
in the way that I would define God, that it's an infinite challenge. It's an infinite pursuit. There's, you know, this is as big as it gets when you decide that this is what you're going for. And that's what makes it so incredible. That's what fills your spirit when you're, you know, doing this and chasing this, because you're going to be stepping right outside of yourself in order to do this. And if you can't remain humble in the face of the infinite,
mm-hmm.
then there's something wrong with you. Like, being humble is part and parcel of what makes it great, because you're going to surrender yourself to it. And I've always felt that way, that the making of music was this very physical thing that you've got to commit to, but also a very spiritual thing that you have to connect with in order to make it really good, you know. So, I don't know. When it comes to living life day to day, that's a spiritual pursuit too. And then it just seems like, aren't you going to try and help other folks out? Aren't you going to lend a hand? You know, that just seems so simple and logical to me. So, I don't know.
Rick, that's why.
I don't do it so that's, you know, like I win awards or anything. Or people go, well done. Let me pat you on the back.
Well, Rick, that's why good things happen to you. It's good karma. You know?
Well, I mean, I think I do believe in that too. In some ways, I do. You know, I can't say that I'm a Hindi, you know, or any of that stuff. But I do think there's something to that. You know, when McCartney decides to end Abbey Road with "The love you make is equal to the love you take," like I do think that when Bob Dylan says, "Hey, if it goes around, it comes around," you know, I do believe that's
mm-hmm.
true.
I do too. Yeah.
Okay, man.
Thank you so much, Rick. Are you done touring? Are you done with touring? Or are you going to do it again?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I had told my agent, you know, don't book tours, but if you can come up with things that I could drive to, and then of course COVID came. So, but then just the other day, I said yes to a guy. He wants me to come to his theater where, you know, they're struggling to how they're going to make ends meet. So will I do an interview for cameras that they can put up and, you know, sell the show that I'll make by maybe playing a few songs live on stage and being interviewed and stuff. And so in a way, it's kind of like a gig, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody else says, hey, will you do a master class for the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp? You just have to sit and talk and do a Zoom with your laptop. I go, yeah, okay, I'll do that. You know, so who knows what the world's going to shape up like and how I'm going to feel. I've been reading about Bob Dylan lately.
Huh.
And, you know, Dylan, he got all of his crazy creative juice from being just never stopping touring. Even into his, like, he's 80 now, but he still goes out and plays gigs. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, kind of ambition. I'm not sure, but yeah. The more I read about Dylan, the more I kind of go, yeah. That's my kind of guy. You know, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Rick, you're still a young guy, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Maybe one day I'll see you in Florida. That'd be wonderful.
Okay, man.
All right. Take care, Rick. Thank you so much.
You too, Ray. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, Roundhill Records reissued Rick Emmett solo titles on July 10th. For decades, Rick Emmett, largely considered one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time, has been a prolific recording artist, whether it be as a member of Triumph, offering solo material, or collaborating with others. And now fans will be able to enjoy quite a few of his solo releases once again, which covers a wide variety of styles. Roundhill Records reissued 11 solo Rick recordings in a digital format, including 10 invitations, 11 Swing Shift from 1998, Raw Quartet, Live at Berkeley, Handiwork, Good Faith, Strung Out Troubadours, Live at Hughes Room, Liberty Manifesto, Push and Pull, and Marco's Street Songbook. You can also purchase one of my favorite albums by him is Rick Emmett and Resolution 9. Rick Emmett and the band on the mascot level, much of the album recorded and mixed at the famed Metal Works Studios, where Rick reconnected to his own roots. In fact, the other two founding members of Triumph, Gil Moore and Mike Levine, reunite with Rick as special guest on the Grand Parade, a song that conjures 1979's Suitcase Blues. Additionally, legendary guitarist Alex Lifeson of Rush performs on two stellar tracks, with James LaBrie of Dream Theater contributing extraordinary guest vocals on two cuts. And also, you also have Marco's Secret Songbook, also available. And all of these are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Rick Emmett, visit www.rickemmett.com. www.facebook.com/RickEmmett Network. And also on Twitter, www.twitter.com/RickEmmett. Very special thanks for Rick Emmett for arranging this interview and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And, of course, my new book, finally out, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. Chronicles, truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us free. Order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. And I got a book review by Literary Titan. I got the Gold Star Gold Award winner for that, which I'm very proud of. Let me tell you a little bit about all the artists that are on the book. It includes Chris Squire, Dr. John, Greg Lake, Henry McCullough, Jack Bruce, Joe Lalla, Johnny Winter, Keith Emerson, Paul Kattner, Ray Thomas, Ronnie Montrose, Tony Joe White, David Clayton Thomas, Mike Love, Tommy Rowe, Barry Hay, Chris Thompson, Jesse Colin Young, John Kay, Julian Lennon, Mark Lindsay, Mickey Dolenz, Peter Rivera, Tommy James, Todd Rundgren, Dave Mason, Edgar Winter, Frank Marino, Greg Raleigh, Ian Anderson, Jim Dandy Mangrum, John Anderson, Lou Graham, Mick Box, Randy Bachman, Robin Trower, Roger Fisher, Steve Hackett, Andy Haslam, Melanie Safka, Petula Clark, Susie Quattro, Colin Blundstone, Dave Davies, Jim McCarty, and Pete Best. That's a pretty good lineup, if I may say so. And it's available at bookbaby.com. Everybody have a great week, a safe week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-4100. 1-800-522-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.